The rest of you can open up your Bibles, and we're going to open up your journals, and we're going to be going to the book of Mark this morning, Mark chapter 6. Let me give you a real quick kind of heads up and catch up to where we've been coming in this. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We've been looking at the foundation. We've been looking at the doors or the entryways into our spiritual houses, the kitchen, the bathroom. We looked at the bathroom last week. I've never talked about the bathroom from the pulpit. Last Sunday was a banner day for that. You can look at all these messages on our Facebook Live page. It's also on our website. It's also on YouTube. And it's also on our church app. So you have access to these in multiple ways that you can watch the program or the service, however you want to call it, the broadcast, the time together, so you can catch up to where we are today. But as we have a physical house of the foundation and the kitchen and the doors and the entryways and the bathroom, spiritually we also have these same sort of access points and these same sort of rooms in our house, these same sort of ideas of spiritually that we do have some of these things in our spiritual houses. And so I've been looking at all of these different things, and we've been looking at how they apply to our spiritual lives, and today we're going to look at the bedroom. The bedroom is really two main things for our bedroom that we have function in our home. Typically, they're for rest and they're for intimacy, and we're going to look at those two things this morning as it relates to our relationship with the Lord. In the physical sense, after a long day's work, after a hard day of physical activity and what have you, there's nothing like a good night's sleep to refresh us and to restore us for the next day. I can say this as a great example. My parents, who actually are not here this morning, but my parents who've been living in Tennessee for the last 25 years, and before that they lived in California, but they actually moved here this week, and they're in Fort Mill now, and they're resting at home because they moved here Friday, and my wife and I, Kelly and I, spent Friday most of the day and a good bit of yesterday unpacking boxes and kind of getting them settled in. And I got to tell you that last night I slept really well because of just the weariness, just the physical exertion that you expend when you work hard. And so last night I slept really well. There's nothing like a good night's sleep to refresh you. And I must say that I feel very refreshed this morning after sleeping as well as I did last night. And my parents will be here next week. They're, I'm sure, resting as well today, trying to figure out which end is up. Bless their hearts. We're so glad to have them finally in our community, and we look forward to I know you'll look forward to getting to know them. The other part of being in a bedroom, other than just having a good night's sleep, is times of intimacy that is experienced between a husband and a wife. And that time of intimacy knits their hearts together and their lives together in a way that no other human interaction can relate to, really. The sexual intimacy, the union between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. God has created us to have that type of rest in Him and to have that type of intimacy with Him. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. You know, I know we all can relate to this. We all sleep at night. I hope we do. I would say a full third of our lives, by and large, is spent sleeping. If there's a 24-hour period in the day, by and large, we sleep about 8 hours of those. So a third of our lives is spent sleeping. And so, and you can't tell me with the 7.6 billion people in the world today that we haven't figured out how to be intimate with one another. It's just a common thing that we are as human beings, that we sleep and we have intimate relationships with one another. But rest is more than sleeping, and intimacy is more than sex. You see, we can sleep and we can actually wake up tired. How many's ever woken up just exhausted, right? So you can sleep, but you're really not resting. And also, we can have sex without ever being intimate. The act of sex is not intimacy. It's just an act of sex. But to be intimate moves you into a deeper place. So as we continue in our series on this Valentine's Day, I want us to look at this bedroom in our spiritual lives. And I want us to look for a few minutes and see what we might be able to do to maybe even adjust our lives to this and make our rest and our intimacy with God more beneficial. So first thing that I want us to look at this morning is rest. So write that down if you're taking notes. As we talked last week, if you remember, God has a place for us, this spiritual spot. It's like Jesus is there saying, come on into this place. And the beautiful soft music, if you've ever gone to get a massage, there's this beautiful aroma that they have, soft music, soft lighting, everything's peaceful, everything's calm. And then you lay out on this table and they work out all the little knots and the stuff in your neck and your back and all of that. And you walk away going, oh, boy, did that feel good. And spas are becoming very popular in our culture in the last 10, 20 years or so. They're just popping up everywhere because we know that physically we need to get sometimes to a place where if they can just work out that thing in my back and my neck, things just work out them knots, that tight stuff. I just feel so much better. You see, Jesus has that same place for us. He has that same place for us. We get in spiritual knots. We get tense. We get anxious. Certainly the last 12 months or so have been for us an opportunity to be anxious and fearful and worrying about so many things in the world. And spiritually, we get all up in knots. And we get fearful. We get tight. And Jesus is saying, come away and let me work out all of that stuff in this spiritual spa, this haven of rest, this place of renewal. Life is demanding and stressful. I get it. I understand. In our marriage relationships, in our work relationships, raising children, in our finances, in all the stuff that's going on in the world today, and everything in between, every opportunity is there for us to walk in stress and anxiousness and worry. But God has a place for us to rest. If we'll simply just take Him upon that invitation to come away. And really, there's actually a scripture in Mark chapter 6 that Jesus Himself invited the disciples to come away. I think it's a beautiful thing that we can apply to our lives. He saw His friends, and he saw them wearied. He saw them wrapped up in activities. He saw them to the point where they didn't even have time to eat. They were so busy. How many has ever been so busy that you just couldn't even eat? Yeah, I know. Lunch is gone. It's dinner time now. The day gets away from you because you're so busy doing, and you never stop. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Jesus is speaking to His apostles. Listen to this. The apostles are the sent out ones, by the way. So it's His co-workers. And that's us, okay? We are an extension of Christ. We are His apostles. So this is speaking to us. I want you to imagine Jesus speaking to you this morning, saying these same words that He said to His apostles. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to Him all that they had done and taught. So they were busy. They were feeding the homeless, Paul. You know, Shekinah. They were going out and giving chili to people, Richard. And they're going out and praying for them. They were busy doing stuff, right? They were playing the piano and they were playing the drums and they were singing to the Lord and they were cleaning the church and they were busy, busy, busy. You know, they were doing stuff for the Lord. They were teaching and they were leading and they were helping and they were honoring Him. Then because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. In other words, they were so busy doing what they were doing, they didn't have time to stop and say, wait a minute, what does God's word say that it will feed me? You see, it's not just the physical food we're talking about here. We're talking about spiritual rest. So keep this in mind. They didn't have time to eat. They didn't have time to feed themselves. They didn't have time to get away with the Lord. And say, what is it that I can do to consume of the Lord what He has for me so that I can be strengthened in my relationship with Him so that I can go on? Then He said to them, when He noticed that, you're so busy for me that you're not spending time with me, that this is what He said. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. You know, we can spend a week, a month, a year on that verse right there in the busyness in our lives. And so they went away with by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. So they took him up on the offer. They didn't say, not now, Jesus. These people over here need some more ministry. This is demanding my attention over here. This is something that I must do. I'll be with you in a minute or maybe down the road, but right now I'm busy. You see, the need is always going to be there. The opportunities are always going to be there. The responsibilities are always going to be there. But Jesus is saying, wait a minute. You're not going to be any good for any of these people if you're no good for yourself. You can't minister effectively out here if you're not rested in me here. It's so important. There's actually four different elements here. I love this. He says, come with me. Write this down. Come with me. So you're with Jesus. And Jesus alone. His Holy Spirit. You're with him. And then he made it real clear. By yourself. So he kind of elaborated. Come with me, but by yourself. I just need you alone. And then come to a quiet place. Those are three elements there. And then you will find rest. So come with me by yourself to a quiet place, and then you'll get rest. And there's an equation there if you'll look up on the screen. I love addition. I love multiplication. I'm not a big fan of algebra, so we'll stop right there. Jesus plus me plus quiet equals rest. That's a simple way to think about it, isn't it? Jesus plus me plus quiet place equals rest. There was so much demand. There was so much going on that Jesus laid out this simple equation to find rest. It's an ingredient to find rest in God if you'll simply just come away with him to a quiet place. Now they went away to a boat, on a boat. They were fishermen, most of them. That was a quiet place for them. I'm sure they experienced that before. I'm not sure where your place will be. Maybe it's by a lake or a stream somewhere outdoors. I know that when we go to the beach, I love to go to the ocean and just sit there with my toes in the sand and just watch the waves go in and out. And I just spend time with the Lord. It's nothing like that. Something about water, you know. I don't know. Maybe it's your prayer closet. Maybe it's a quiet place in your home if there is such a place. And if there's not, create one. But you've got to get to a place where you're quiet. I know I've seen an advertisement on TV recently where this lady drops her kids off at their house and all the kids and the husband run inside and she hits a little button and her car moves her seat back and the music comes on and it becomes this little quiet place for her. This little haven of rest, you know. Whatever it takes, find a place. Because you plus Jesus and a quiet place equals rest. How many would love to find a place of rest like that? For a better question, how many needs a place of rest like that? You see, this is for you today. This is for you today. If you're watching here today online, this is for you today. And again, you could be staying at home thinking, well, Pastor, I haven't been out in months because of this COVID. You still need a place of rest because there's a lot of things that you invite in. Television, radio, movies, your phones, social media, other people there in your house. You need a place to isolate, get alone with the Lord and rest in him. It doesn't matter where it is. You just need to go and go alone and get some rest. You're not going to invite your friends to this place. You're not going to invite your cell phone into this place. You're not going to invite your social media friends into this place. It's just you and the Lord. It's not a place, by the way, here's another part of it. It's not a place where you're going to send up prayer requests. Lord, bless my family. Lord, bless me. Lord, bless my job. No, don't go down to there. Don't go to a grocery list of places, things that you need blessing. Don't get in there for spiritual warfare and say, I just bind Satan and all that. Don't intercede for anybody. Just say, Lord, I just need you to just pour over me. No other agenda, but just you plus me in a quiet place, and it's going to bring me rest. I mean, you can do this. You can do the intercession later. Excuse me while I cough in this microphone. I just got a little bit of a congestion here, but it's going away in the name of Jesus. You can do intercession later. You can pray for your needs later. You can do all those other things later. Get alone and let the Lord refresh you. You know, when you're laying there on a massage table, you're not doing anything but just saying, oh, yeah, right? If you're ever in a jacuzzi, if you ever been, I mean, figure whatever place that you have were that was a place of relaxing in your physical body. You weren't lifting weights and, you know, you were just sitting there going, Calgon, take me away, like we did last week, right? Just whatever it takes, it's just rolling over me. I'm just laying there just relaxing and somebody doing something to me and it's all good, right? That's what Jesus wants to do for us. No other agenda. It's simply a place of refreshing in Jesus, with Jesus alone. You know, I get it. The demands of ministry and the demands of life with all its responsibilities sap the life out of us. And just as Jesus invited his friends to come away with him on that day, today he's inviting us as well to turn aside from the demands of life to a quiet place with him and find rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus speaks to us this invitation. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's nothing that says you have to stay busy 24/7. And in fact, even God rested on the seventh day, and he doesn't need rest. But he modeled it for us so that we could find rest. So we come away from our busy schedules, and we come on Sunday mornings, and we worship together. And that's so good. But I encourage you to find a place to rest with him on a regular basis, not just corporately, but every day, somewhere, sometime, because Jesus plus you plus a quiet place equals the rest that you need. We sleep one third of our lives physically. We must find rest spiritually as well so that we can be good for other people. You see, there's no way that your physical body can survive without sleep. And I would say, too, that you can really, your spiritual body cannot function well without rest. If you aren't good for yourself, you won't be good for others. You know, lack of sleep makes you grumpy. I've met a lot of people who apparently are not sleeping well. Lack of sleep, it makes you not think straight. It affects your physical health. You've got to sleep physically. And we must also have the spiritual rest to function at our optimum for Christ, for our families, for others, for the kingdom. I know many people who struggle with thoughts and emotions that they carry to bed with them. Their mind just races and their emotions get the best of them. They can't relax to sleep. I don't know if you're that way. I know there's times for me, there's most of the time I can drop right off to sleep. If the lights go out, so do my lights, and I'm done. But then there's times in my life that I can just lay there in bed with my eyes wide open, my heart pounding, my mind racing. I'm trying to solve things. I'm trying to resolve things. I worry about things. I rehearse things. I carry the weight of the world on me. You know the drill. Anybody can relate to that? Anybody at all? Yeah. I know we've all experienced that at one time or another, and many of us, unfortunately, more times than not, are that way. But there's a rest in Jesus, for he carries our burdens, and he cares for us. And I encourage you to do what 1 Peter 5:7 says, where it says, cast all your anxiety on Jesus because he cares for you. Say that word all with me. It's so hard to do, isn't it? All? Really? All? Yeah, all. He didn't say everything but that biggie, everything that but that one little pet thing that you have. He said all. All. And he can handle it. Because again, he carries, he's our burden bearer, and his yoke is easy. What is his yoke, by the way? You know, we didn't even talk about that. We just kind of breezed through that verse and didn't even talk about his yoke. What is his yoke? Yeah, his yoke is easy, but what is the yoke? It's telling people about Jesus. That's his yoke. All that he asks us to do is just to be a representative of him. You know, just to tell people about Jesus, what happened yesterday, for example, and what we do in our schools, our neighborhoods, and our workplaces. In our lives, we just are a representative of Christ. But unless we rest in him, we can't be a good representative of him. See? So it kind of comes back full circle. But there's still a responsibility that we have. The rest that we have that Jesus has for us, we need it often. We need it thoroughly. And it can only come from Jesus. Then we can have more restfulness and less stress. There's another song, I'm kind of reflecting on some old songs lately. Last week, I talked about a song from the 70s. This is another one from the 80s. And it's a song lyric that simply says, as part of the chorus, if he carried the weight of the world up on his shoulders, then I know my brother, I know my sister, that he will carry you. Isn't that good to know that he is there to carry us? He's carrying the weight of the world on it. When he said it is finished on the cross, when he was hanging on the cross, he carried the weight of the world's sins. He carried your sin and mine and all the sin that has ever existed on him that moment. If he can carry that weight, don't you know that he can carry your burdens this morning? If you'll simply just rest in him. He's our burden bearer. I say this often, I'm going to say it again. God's got this. Whatever it is, God's got it. He's got the whole world in his hands. The Bible says that all of our worrying won't add another day to our life. In fact, it may not add a day, but I think sometimes it takes some days away. But if we spend regular times of quiet rest alone in him, we'll be refreshed and we'll be able to carry on. How does that sound this morning? You see, stress and anxiety. If you can picture again our spiritual houses, stress and anxiety tend to be regular guests at our spiritual houses. Think about this. Here comes stress and anxiety. They knock on our door and we let them in. We know better, but we invite them in anyway. We swing the door wide open and we let them have the run of the place. How many's ever had a guest in your house and they invite kids over and the kids just run all over the house? Don't raise your hands because it may be someone that you're related to or sit next to, but you know what I'm talking about. The kids are unruly. They just... And so imagine not only the kids, but imagine stress and anxiety, or husband and wife, and they bring their little, you know, little kids with them, and they're raiding the refrigerator. They're turning your house upside down. They're looking in your medicine cabinet, snooping. They're laying in your bed. They're turning everything. It's like the house has been ransacked, and then they overstay their welcome. Isn't it time for you guys to? There's a favorite saying that my father-in-law has. Well, honey, we better go to bed so that these people can leave. People just overstay their welcome. They just overstay their welcome. And so here comes stress and anxiety. They overstay their welcome. They refuse to leave. They make a mess of things. And they keep us from going to bed so that we can rest. Let me just tell you, the company of stress and anxiety that you invited into your life, it's time to kick them out. Take them like this and do this out the door and say, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. You see, they're rude. Stress and anxiety are inconsiderate. And in fact, they're actually robbing us in our very own houses of peace and of joy. When you kick stress and anxiety out and say you are not welcome here anymore, and you have the Holy Spirit to guard the doors as watchmen. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago, about the watchmen at the wall where we're fortifying our doors. That's the Holy Spirit. And he's fortifying us. And you're going to find that stress and anxiety, while they try to knock on your door, the Holy Spirit's saying, uh-uh, you're not welcome here anymore. You get out of here. And instead, he's going to give you perfect peace and he's going to give you strengthening joy. How does that sound? Perfect peace and strengthening joy. In place of stress and anxiety, perfect peace and strengthening joy. Then we can experience what we read in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. That's my prayer for you. That's Jesus' desires for you to have that rest in him. He has not called us to be anxious, stressful, worried, and be insomniacs spiritually. We must learn to rest in Him. Again, remember, sleep and rest are two different things. It's time to rest in Him. He has a place of rest for you today. Find it. How does that sound this morning? Let's look at the next aspect of what a bedroom is all about. First off, rest. We spend a third of our lives sleeping, by and large. The next part of the bedroom is the area of intimacy. As I said a few minutes ago, intimacy is more than sex. Anyone can have sex, but intimacy goes much deeper. Let me just talk about intimacy for just a moment as it relates to, as it contrasts to sex. Intimacy, as it comes to a relationship with a man or a woman, it's more selfless. Intimacy is selfless. Intimacy is really more complete. It's more comprehensive. Intimacy is a complete giving of oneself for another. Intimacy is not an act. Intimacy, instead, it's a place of being. Intimacy is a heart posture. Intimacy is a lifestyle. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying here this morning, but you see, as sex is an act, intimacy is a lifestyle. Are you getting me? You see, because I can be intimate with my wife 24/7, but I can have sex with her as an act that lasts a period of time. But intimacy in my heart needs to be there all the time. Because you see, as I'm approaching my wife, as I'm living my life with Kelly, my goal is to be selfless towards her. My goal is to have a lifestyle of saying to her, honey, you're more important than me. You're more important than my likes. You're more important than my desires. You're more important than my goals. You see, intimacy gives. Intimacy prefers. Intimacy actually defers to the other. Intimacy is different than sex. Intimacy is sensitive. Intimacy is careful. Intimacy is concerned about the other first and foremost. I've seen relationships, marriage relationships in my life, where the husband treats the woman horribly. The husband looks at the woman as an object to have sex with, and then the rest of the time, you just cook my meals and clean my house and make sure I have the right clothes. I mean, just, it's awful. Listen, guys, gals, because it can go both ways. Intimacy in a marriage is more than just sex. I mean, anybody can have sex. Anybody can father a child or mother a child in that sense of giving, you know, producing children and having sex together like that. But intimacy is different. Intimacy says, I care for you more than I care for myself. And if there's anything that I can do, I'm going to do it for you. It's just dying to yourself. You see, Jesus has done that for us, hasn't he? Jesus, the best act of intimacy that I can give you is when Jesus died for us. That's the most intimate act of anybody that has ever existed, is when he gave his life for us. Jesus, who is our bridegroom, and we are the bride, he expressed intimacy towards us when he said, I give my life for you. If we're not careful, in a lot of ways, sex tends to take. Sex tends to be like, how can I be satisfied? But intimacy gives. How can the other be fulfilled too? Unfortunately, sexual intimacy can be, and really is in our world, perverted. We take sexual intimacy and bring those two ideas of sex and intimacy together, and we think that they're mutually, that they complement one another, and they should, but it's been perverted by the world, and I'm not going to get into a bashing of anybody today, because I'm trying to preach a message of love, that Jesus loves us. But I am going to call out some things here, and I'm just going to call them out as I see them based on what God's Word says. For example, we look in Genesis, we look in the book of Genesis, And it says that God created male and he created female. You with me? In the book of Genesis, God created male and female. And that's still the case. No matter what the world says, no matter what culture says, if you were to do a DNA test on every person in this place that's watching, in the world, a DNA test on everybody in the world, it's going to show up, their chromosomes are either going to come up as male or female. And that's it. To me, it's so simple. Because it's proof positive that God hasn't added any new gender alternatives to the list since he first made man and woman. But our society, and we know this, in its rebellion against God and his original plan, and in their attempt to satisfy their sexual cravings and their perversions, now adds things such as non-binary, gender fluid, bisexual, pansexual, transgender, and dozens and dozens and dozens of other sexual identities. They've run out of letters in the alphabet to the point where they just put a plus at the end of it now. And all that's doing is justifying how people want to live their lives and express themselves sexually apart from God's original blessed plan. And I say it again, it's his original blessed plan. Between a man and a woman, that is his blessed plan. How many wants to live the best blessed life in Jesus? Then let's live out his plan for us. You know, people are still expressing a form of intimacy in these types of unbiblical relationships, but it's a perverted version against God's original plan that will never satisfy and he will not bless. And by the way, just in case us heterosexuals are listening to this and sitting here saying, well, I'm not a non-binary bisexual. Well, how about let's add to it lust and adultery and pornography? For all of us heterosexuals, that's still a perversion of God's original plan. All of these are acts of a perverted intimacy that will ultimately destroy our lives, our relationships, and certainly keep us away from a truly intimate relationship with God. There's not one time that anyone has ever committed an act of adultery that it hasn't impacted their life or them around them. Adultery, lust, pornography are perversions, and we must be careful that we don't allow the intimacy that God has placed in us that must have an outlet spiritually, that it needs to go back to the Lord, and physically, that it needs to be connected with our spouses. Let's be careful with that. God invites us today to a more intimate relationship with him. James 4:8 says it this way, come near to God or draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. See, God desires intimacy with us. He always has. In fact, that's why he created us. Again, going back to the book of Genesis, he created Adam and Eve to have intimate fellowship and relationship with him. But when sin entered into the human race through Adam and Eve's rebellion, when they took of that tree that he said, don't do it, they disobeyed. And when they did that, the intimate relationship between man and God was broken. A holy God and sin cannot mix. And sin must be punished. But thank God he arranged a sacrifice for our sins. A sacrifice for that punishment. He sent his son Jesus so that our sins could be forgiven. So that we might be restored to intimate relationship back to God the Father. Aren't you thankful for Jesus this morning? Aren't you thankful that through Christ that we can be restored back to intimate right relationship with Jesus? You see, for those of you who've never heard this, I'm going to tell you. For those of you who have, you've heard this before, but it's good to be reminded. God sent his only begotten Son to earth from heaven to take the punishment of my sin and your sin upon himself so that we might be washed and cleansed in the shed, perfect, holy blood of Jesus so that we might then be able to approach God solely on the merits of Jesus' perfection and finished work that once and for all sinless sacrifice for you and me and be restored back to intimate relationship to God. That's the gospel. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died. And he's here to offer you that today if you'll simply receive it. Forgiveness of your sins. You know, in Kelly and my marriage of 30, we've been married 32 years, over 32 years. And we've gotten to know each other quite well. We know each other's likes and dislikes. Many of you can relate to what I'm talking about. The longer you're married to someone, you grow to be more like them, you know? And that's a good thing. I know we know each other better emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, and sexually than when we first met, because we've spent massive amount of times with one another over the years. You know, just we got to be careful, because I don't look at my wife as an object to study, but I look at her as a person to love. And so it is with my Heavenly Father. You see, God is not a theology to study, but he is someone to love. Jesus is not some religion, some sterile religion. He didn't come that we might have sterile religion with him. He came that we might have intimate relationship with God the Father through Christ. Oh, there's such a difference. We must be careful not to get perfunctory and robotic in our walk with him. But just take him by the hand, sit in his lap, hold him, love him, kiss him, thank him, honor him, spend time with him, be intimate with him. Just love on him and let him love on you. Intimacy in our world takes so many forms. We all have the capacity to be intimate. And I'm not just talking about with a person. If we're intimate and we're in close proximity to that we're engaged with, then that is an act of intimacy. If we're passionately pouring ourselves into that object or that activity, that's intimacy. It can be sports. It can be travel to different places. It can be hobbies. It can be entertainment. The list goes on and on. But they all have one thing in common. They require close, regular, intense interaction with them. That is intimacy. The same goes with our relationship with God. A healthy, ever-growing, intimate relationship with God requires closeness and intensity with him on a regular basis. I love to take the word intimacy and break it down. You've heard this before. Into me, see. God, into me, see. As I'm close to you, you're going to be so close to me, and I'm not going to hide anything from you. Won't you into me see? And I want to into you see as well, so that I can see what's going on and we can know each other in very intimate ways. We all know how to be intimate with people and things. We simply direct our passions to them. We direct our energies to them, our time, our treasures, everything, as we laser focus on what makes our heart beat fastest. What makes your heart beat fast today? That means that's what you're intimate with. That's what you're excited about. And you see, God is calling us today as every day unto himself. Now, here's the thing about it. When he calls us, oftentimes I believe we hide from him. We're ashamed. We're embarrassed. We're afraid. We're not wanting to reveal our true selves to the one who knows everything about us. And yet he still loves us. And he wants relationship with us. Think about this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 talks about this very thing. Just after Adam and Eve sinned, we read this. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." You think about this. You see, God knew what they had done. Adam didn't have to reveal that to him, and God didn't have a look of shock on his face. God knew exactly what was going on, yet God still went looking for them. Think about that. Sin had already happened. The shame was already there, and God still sought them out. He still desired intimate relationship with them. And today, for you and for me, he's doing that same thing. Amen. Yet, we hide behind things, don't we? And we kind of cover our shame with things, thinking surely he doesn't want anything to do with us, but he wants everything to do with you. He's seeking you out. He's looking for you as you're hiding behind those things in your shame. And you're saying to yourself, God, I've sinned, I've messed up, I've done some bad things. Surely you don't want to have a relationship with me. He says, of course I do. Let me come and seek you out. Oh, I see you behind that you're hiding behind. Why don't you come on out? We don't need to cover ourselves before him today. You see, true intimacy, the kind that's most fulfilling, is complete nakedness and openness before the object of our affection. There's a wonderful relieving beauty when we stand bare before the Lord, spiritually speaking. And I'm so thankful that when we do, that he doesn't laugh at us. He doesn't mock us. He doesn't insult us for who we are or what we've done. He simply just says, come unto me. I'm seeking after you, and I desire to have intimate relationship with you. And that's what he wants us to do today.